The American team searching for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq has not made any significant discoveries so far. The investigators have pared the list of more than 1,000 potential sites to 36 key facilities. Iraq's suspected stocks of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons and materials became the main rationale for the war, and proving their existence is a key U.S. objective in the aftermath. Terry Taylor is a former member of the United Nations Special Commission and a former chief weapons inspector who was in Iraq from 1993 to 1997. He's now U.S. president of the International Institute for Strategic Studies. Terry Taylor, thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Joining us from NPR's New York Bureau is Ellen Lapson, who is president of the Henry L. Stimson Center in Washington. Ellen Lapson, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Let me start, Mr. Taylor, with you. This week, the leader of the Pentagon's team searching for unconventional weapons at an ammunition site outside Karbala said, "We are not going to find just a smoking gun, but a smoking cannon." Now, what kind of find would qualify as a smoking cannon?
Well, I'm not quite sure what was meant by that expression, but I do think that in discovering the hidden Iraqi weapons of mass destruction program, it'll be bits and pieces, probably, to start with. I don't think they're going to open a hole in the ground or maybe a store somewhere where you'll suddenly find a stack of, for example, 122-millimeter rockets filled with chemical or biological agents.
Ms. Lapson, don't you think that there will still be skeptics in Iraq, in the region, in the rest of the world, and perhaps even here, who will say that the United States could have imported whatever they found, placed it there, fabricated the evidence?
I think it's important that U.S. credibility may be so strained that people will not be satisfied with just faint traces of a past program. They will think that the United States either had gone to war under somewhat false pretenses or perhaps, as you say, it might be needing to come up with ways to prove that this was a justified argument for going to war. So I do think American credibility is on the line.
Mr. Taylor, two important scientists have turned themselves into the U.S. in the past week. Iraq's top nuclear scientist and a top science advisor who was supposedly involved in both the chemical and biological weapons programs. Do you know anything about these men, and do you think that they might be the key to finding something?
Well, I do know General Amer al-Sadi. No doubt he took a great deal of steps while the military campaign was in progress, and maybe even before that, to try to cover the tracks and cover his connections and documentation and so on. So it's hard to judge. At least his publicly stated position is that Iraq does no longer have any weapons of mass destruction programs. I'm absolutely certain that that's not a credible position for him to take. I think we need more than this. We need people further down the chain of command and control of this whole process.
What sorts of people? Are you thinking of any particular people?
No, not. I don't want to name individuals particularly, but I think there'll be, even right down to technicians, perhaps some elements of the Special Republican Guard, there's a whole range of people who would have been involved in the whole process.
What do you think is behind the reluctance to involve the UN at this point, and does that make sense?
Well, I do think there is a point when the process will have to be internationalized, but I don't think we're at that point yet. I don't think one could just insert the UN Monitoring and Verification and Inspection Commission, the UNMVIC that Dr. Blix heads. This is a very different security and political situation than when UNMVIC was doing its inspections just over a month ago. People have to be found, maybe sites discovered, experts brought in who may be principally U.S. Citizens, but maybe others from the other coalition members, experts that may go in and interview people who have the corporate memory, who have access, full access to intelligence resources. But at some point, the process would be internationalized in order to bring credibility to the process, or at least credibility for those who would naturally doubt what the U.S. may be doing.
Ellen Lapson, with the Iraqi regime gone now, and the focus is on the messy business of bringing order to Iraq and figuring out what happens next, is finding chemical, biological, nuclear weapons, is it as important now as it might, or does it really matter anymore?
it may be that in the long run, the thing the world will remember the most is whether, after getting rid of a cruel dictator, the United States was successful or not in bringing about a significant political change to Iraq. But it still does seem to me that given how much churning there was in the international community over whether the use of military force was justified, if there is no evidence that Iraq posed an imminent threat based on its weapons programs, then I think some people will always be troubled by the fact that we used military force to bring about this change. The political change, I think, will be virtually universally seen as a positive thing, but at what price? At what cost did we pay to achieve it?
Thanks very much for talking to us.
You're most welcome.
It's my pleasure.
Ellen Lapson is president of the Henry L. Stemson Center in Washington. She joined us from our bureau in New York. Terry Taylor is now U.S. president of the International Institute for Strategic Studies.